The House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the eighth day of the session, January 22, 2015, and I'm going to start announcing daily the next pending deadline, just so that we have a little bit of a roadmap out there where we're going. So the pending deadline that we're looking at the moment is Monday, February the 2nd, the last day for bills to be submitted to LSO for introduction. Chief Cook will read the roll. Call the roll.
Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Baldwin.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Clem.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Dayton.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Edwards.
Here.
Eklund. Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Greer. Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Yagi, Yag, Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan, Larson Dan, Lindholm,
excuse.
Lindholm excused, Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
Moniz, here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff, Pieperinen,
here.
Pinnell,
here.
Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson, Stubson, Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Larson Dan.
Excuse.
Larson Dan excused. Stubson.
Excuse.
Stubson excused. 57 present, 3 excused.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to vary from our regular routine just a little bit. We will have the prayer. We will hold the Pledge of Allegiance until a little later for a special presentation on that. And then we have a very special person to address us here in a moment. So the prayer is offered today by our chaplain, Reverend Rick Hall, representing First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ.
Today, let us come before that which is ultimate, infinite, the more of our existence, seeking justice in our society. Let us pray. To you, whose ways are just, we come seeking your guidance for these legislators whom we ask to accomplish the always challenging task of establishing justice. The Prophet Muhammad asked, is not God the best of judges? The teacher Jesus counseled, judge not that you be not judged. Still we ask this legislature to make judgments to build a just society, to accomplish the Prophet Amos's call to let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, to move us toward that day which President Reagan envisioned, when the realm of liberty and justice will encompass the planet. Help this House represent you as it leads us in building a just society based not on revenge, but on reconciliation, seeking more than penalty, but achieving equity. Show this body the way of justice. For without you, none will know what is true and right and fair. Amen.
Please be seated. I don't want to take a privilege of the floor, but I just note that Dr. McGinnity is in the gallery. And Dr. McGinnity, if I recall, it's adequate parking for the faculty and the winning football team, and the rest of it's kind of a downhill pull from there, I think. So in that note, we're honored this morning to have our very own football coach, Coach Bowl, present with us. Coach Bowl, welcome, come in, and would you please address the body?
Get the mic. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for this invitation. I know Dr. McGinnity is in the back. He and I share the likeness to the same barber. A little less than a year ago, I addressed this body, and I want you to know it's a privilege for me to serve as your head football coach at the University of Wyoming. Much has been accomplished in a year, but there's much work ahead. The biggest thing that we have is changing the culture within our football program. And the best thing that we can do is change the composition within our locker room. We inherited a football team of many men from all around the country, but moreover, all around the world, which was great. But what I noticed was a lack of players who are from our state of Wyoming. As I travel around the country, I have many colleagues that work in many institutions. Common wisdom tells us around the country that you cannot win championships with Wyoming players. I'm here to tell you we cannot win them without Wyoming players. And so I commit to you, and we've already started, to transition that locker room. While I appreciate the fact that we had more players were from Germany and got to know these young men from Germany, I scratch my head and say, why do we have more scholarship players from Germany than we do our own state? So we've begun to change that, and we've doubled down in this state, and we've looked under every rock, and we will continue to do that. Along with that, we're going to give more opportunities for young men all across this state to come as non-scholarship players. And much of that has to do with the wisdom of the group of people in this room and the other room with the Hathaway scholarships and the institution that you have provided for us to offer. The days of these young men feeling disconnected and disenfranchised with the University of Wyoming are over. The days of these young men feeling like they had to look at institutions like Black Hills State are over. We now have a new sheriff in town, and we now have a new mission. Our agenda is broad, and our agenda is bold. While we appreciate, as you look through War Memorial Stadiums, the bowl games like the New Mexico Bowl and other bowls, that's not our goal. Our goal is to return cowboy football back to national prominence, back to returning to days where we participated in a game like the Fiesta Bowl. So members of this body who are kind of over on the Idaho side, our goal is to shut those Boise State people up and return cowboy football back to national prominence. So I'll guarantee you that. I want to say thank you for the privilege of serving our state and getting to know our state in a short time. It's my hopes that I get to know many members of this body, and we'll continue to carry that banner, not only with football, but Dr. McGinnity in every aspect of our great institution. So it's time to cowboy up, ride for the brand, and go Pokes. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now joined by students from Dildine Elementary School, and they are going to lead us in their pledge and in the Pledge of Allegiance. Welcome. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the 63rd. I have the distinct pleasure today. We have a probably a unique visitor to our gallery today. I'd like to welcome the governor of the state of Ohio, Governor John Kasich, who is in the back balcony.
Welcome, Governor Kasich. It's an honor to have you here today. Now, where are we? Do we need to have a... Journal report.
Your General Committee reports that the Journal of January 21st, 2015 has been read and recommends that it be approved, signed by Representatives Steinmetz and Schwartz.
The doctor of the day is Ron Malm from Cheyenne, and the nurse of the day is Diane O'Dell from Wyoming Medical Center. Would you welcome them both? Privilege the floor. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
This morning in the South Gallery, I'd like to introduce my beautiful bride of 33 years and my wonderful daughter, Holly. Dana's the bride. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
In this gallery over here, you can see my sister. Go ahead and stand up, Beau. And Stephanie Rosenkranz and their two sons. They're not together. I came out wrong.
Representative Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of floor.
Please proceed.
We also have in the balcony over here my wife that's staying with me during the session here this year, Lanice. Would you please welcome her to the chamber?
That's it. Okay. The next order of business is introduction, reading, and reference of bills. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 83.
House Bill 83 from Representative Winters, an act relating to religious freedom.
House Bill 83 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 90.
House Bill 90 from Representative Croker, an act relating to education.
House Bill 90 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 97.
House Bill 97 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to crimes and offenses and criminal procedure.
House Bill 97 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114 from Representative Yagi, an act relating to concealed weapons.
House Bill 114 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 121.
House Bill 121 from Representative Dan Larson, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 121 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 134.
House Bill 134 from Representative Miller, an act relating to seized property.
House Bill 134 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 145.
House Bill 145 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to fiduciaries.
House Bill 145 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146 from Speaker Brown, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
House Bill 146 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 150.
House Bill 150 from Representative Crone, an act relating to peace officers.
House Bill 150 is assigned to Judiciary Committee Number 1. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill 98 from Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 98 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 102.
House Bill 102 from Representative Dave Zwanzer, an act relating to property taxes.
House Bill 102 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110.
House Bill 110 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to sales and use tax.
House Bill 110 is assigned to Revenue Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 112.
House Bill 112 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 112 is assigned to Revenue, Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117.
House Bill 117 from Representative Throne, an act relating to administration of government.
House Bill 117 is assigned to Revenue, Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 129.
House Bill 129 from Representative Burkhardt, an act relating to taxation and revenue.
House Bill 129 is assigned to Revenue, Committee Number 3. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to the Board of Cooperative Educational Services.
House Bill 86 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 118.
House Bill 118 from Representative Berger, an act relating to the Wyoming Community College Commission.
House Bill 118 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill 144 from the Education Committee, an act relating to school safety and security.
House Bill 144 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 147.
House Bill 147 from Representative Summers, an act relating to the coordination of public education statewide.
House Bill 147 is assigned to Education Committee Number 4. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 47.
House Bill 47 from Representative Hunt, an act relating to alcoholic beverages.
House Bill 47 is assigned to Agriculture, Committee Number 5. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99.
House Bill 99 from Representative Connolly, an act relating to general statutory provisions.
House Bill 99 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 119.
House Bill 119 from Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 119 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135.
House Bill Number 135 from Representative Blackburn, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 135 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 136.
House Bill 136 from Representative Madden, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 136 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 148.
House Bill 148 from Representative Crone, an act relating to state parks.
House Bill 148 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 149.
House Bill Number 149 from Representative Crone, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 149 is assigned to Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife, Committee Number 6. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 79.
House Bill 79 from Representative Schwartz, an act relating to resort districts.
House Bill 79 is assigned to Corporations, Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill 93 from Representative Dan Zwanzer, an act relating to public utilities.
House Bill 93 is assigned to Corporations, Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 127.
House Bill 127 from Representative Lloyd Larson, an act relating to payment of wages.
House Bill 127 is assigned to Corporations, Committee Number 7. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77 from Representative Lindholm, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system.
House Bill 77 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 125.
House Bill 125 from Representative Pelkey, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
House Bill 125 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 143.
House Bill 143 from Representative Madden, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 143 is assigned to Transportation Committee Number 8. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 50.
House Bill 50 from Representative Byrd, an act relating to food and drugs.
House Bill 50 is assigned to Labor Health Committee Number 10. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 59.
House Bill 59 from Representative Larson, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 59 is assigned to Labor Health Committee number 10. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 138.
House Bill 138 from Representative Northrup, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 138 is assigned to Labor Health Committee number 10. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 139.
House Bill 139 from Representative Petroff, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
House Bill 139 is assigned to Labor Health Committee number 10. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 8 from the Agricultural Committee, an act relating to environmental quality.
House Bill 8 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
House Bill 15 from the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to criminal procedure.
There is an amendment. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry for the delay. I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15. I think that the sponsoring committee should find this as a friendly amendment. As I was reading through it, you'll notice we have now a certificates automatically issued by the State Board of Parole and the whole process, and I think a very good bill. But we have this gap of some folks who have completed completed their time and their requirements prior to this certification process going in. And it says within the statute that they shall make application, but there's no process for the application. You'll read just down below that on page 4, and all the language regarding the application was crossed out. So what this amendment does is where it says after the restoration, the application shall specifically state, I'm just kind of restating the same language of what that application would be, and it should be the one that the Board of Parole has been using. So it's just to cover that group who have completed, their sentence prior to January 1, 2016, who would want to come back and apply for the certificate. We're just saying what the application should say. Then down below, we've got that for the out-of-state people making application. There's no process in place for the application. If you'll recall in the debate, I was asking who's going to promulgate the rules for that application. There's a little bit of confusion. So rather than leave that confusion out there, we'll just put this in the statute to make it clear what that application should say and where the application goes. I really consider this a cleanup. The first part of this, page 2, line 23, the strike sought and insert certificated was a technical correction that was requested to be put in this bill as well as another cleanup. So any questions, I'll answer them. Hope everyone votes in favor of this. Again, a cleanup item.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the concept is a good one. I do have one question, though. One of the things that this bill does is it basically removes the Board of Parole from doing these applications because that's a volunteer board, and they were extremely busy, and they kept getting called back to do more and more things. So we were relieving them of that burden, and this has the Board of Parole approving the form. So I'm wondering, is that the appropriate place for it, or should we have the Department of Corrections? Just a thought.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of this amendment, as the good representative says, it is a cleanup and probably something that was overlooked in our enthusiasm to restore these rights. Thank you.
Chairman Zwarner, Sir Dan.
Just a question, because I don't understand lines 11 through 16. This section is talking about if it's a federal offense or an offense from another state. And I'm just wondering why the form has to be approved by the State Board of Parole if the nonviolent felony occurred in a federal court or in another state. It doesn't seem to be sensical to me, and it seems to be just bureaucracy, and I'm maybe some more clarity on why we're doing that in that section.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And to the first question, whether the Board of Parole is the correct agency or not, I can't say that I know that for a fact. I didn't hear all the testimony in committee. I understand what we're trying to do is alleviate some of the backlog there and that workload. However, you're going to have, in theory, just a small portion of these folks, and just looking at who is going to create that application. It says application, but it never provided the specifics. We've had a mechanism in place that worked. The Board of Parole seemed logical, and I would suggest if there was somebody, you know, a different entity that we would want in there, that would be a proper amendment for a cleanup, especially by maybe a committee member who's heard all that testimony. With respect to the second question regarding the 11 through 16, the implication in the statute prior to this bill was that the application process for an out-of-state individual or from the federal courts were going through the Board of Parole with their application. And I was just trying to make that consistent. Again, we had application in there for those folks, but nowhere to go with it or no guidance with it. So that's all I was trying to do. So I'd encourage you to pass this amendment if someone with a little greater depth of knowledge on who's the right entity wants to bring a third reading amendment. Please do so. If not, the Board of Parole is still a logical place.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 15. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. House Bill 15, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 21. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 21 from Representative Stubson, an act relating to interstate secession.
House Bill 21, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30.
House Bill 30 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to deposits and depositories.
House Bill 30, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 49 from Representative Walters, an act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 49, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 58. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 58 from Labor Committee, an act relating to Medicaid.
House Bill 58, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We're now on that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list as follows. House Bill 9, 12, 19, 20, 33, 44, excuse me, 42, 66, and 104.
Ladies and gentlemen, just about a 30-second timeout here. This is the first time we've done the consent list. I'm going to ask in a moment, does anyone want any of those bills removed from the consent list? If you do, it can be removed, although there's not going to be any debate on it unless there's an amendment. And then I'm going to ask for a vote on the entire consent list, and I would urge you to vote aye. Then the clerk is going to give each of you an opportunity, bill by bill by bill, an opportunity to change your vote. So if you want to change it from yes on the consent list to no on that particular vote, you can do that. So when the record is complete on the consent list, it will show as to each of you an affirmative vote on each bill except those where you get up and change your vote when the clerk provides that opportunity. Everybody square on what we're doing? Okay. Are there any bills that anyone wishes to have removed from the consent list? Well, and another timeout. Another reason you might ask to have a bill considered from the consent list is you want to have a separate roll call vote on that bill. And it might be close. There might be a number of reasons you want to do that. That would be another reason that you would ask to have it removed. Okay. Are there any bills that anyone wishes to have removed from the consent list? Seeing none, the reading clerk will call the roll on the consent list. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. The reading clerk will read the bills.
House Bill number 9 from the Revenue Committee, an act relating to fuel tax, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 12 from the Travel Committee, an act relating to game and fish, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 19 from Capital Financing, an act relating to public funds, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 20 from the Capital Financing Committee, an act relating to the administration of government, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 33 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to workers' compensation, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 42 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to unclaimed property, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill number 66 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, an act relating to the fish and mythical creature of Wyoming, be enacted by the state of Wyoming. House Bill 104 from Representative Baker, an act relating to big and trophy game licenses, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman. Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 aye. As to House Bill 9, are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Moniz, aye to no. Lindholm, Aye. Tenneau. Blackburn. Aye. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 7 no. As to House Bill 12, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 19, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 20, are there any changes? Halverson, aye. Tenneau. Steinmetz, aye. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 no. As to House Bill 33, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 aye. As to House Bill 42, are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, aye. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 no. As to House Bill 66, are there any changes? Connolly, aye. Tenneau. Nicholas, aye. Tenneau. Edmonds, aye. Tenneau. Blackburn, aye. Tenneau. Laux, aye. Tenneau. Walters, aye. Tenneau. Edwards, aye. Tenneau. Burkhart, aye. Tenneau. Steinmetz, aye. Tenneau. Stubson, aye. Tenneau. Northrup, aye. Tenneau. Larson Lloyd, aye. Tenneau. Schwartz, aye. Tenneau. Crone, aye. Tenneau. Winters, aye. Tenneau. Greer, aye. Tenneau. Miller, aye. Tenneau. Reeder, aye. Tenneau. Gay, aye. Tenneau. Pipirinen, aye. Tenneau. Larson Dan, aye. Tenneau. Madden, aye. Tenneau. Moniz, aye. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 37 aye, 23 no. As to House Bill 104, are there any changes? Larson Lloyd, aye. Tenneau. Walters, aye. Tenneau. Burkhart, aye. Tenneau. Greer, aye. Tenneau. Jennings, aye. Tenneau. Madden, aye. Tenneau. Moniz, aye. Tenneau. Campbell, aye. Tenneau. Eklund, aye. Tenneau. Nicholas, aye. Tenneau. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
We're at that business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 63. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 63 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to unclaimed property, be it enacted by the State of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading Amendment 1 to House Bill 63 and ask for your favorable consideration. I wanted one more chance to do a better job of explaining the thinking behind House Bill 63, and then you can decide how you want to spend the money for advertising in the Unclaimed Property Department in the Treasurer's Office. The Unclaimed Property Department has an advertising budget of about $29,000 each year. Their main efforts are three teaser ads in the state's largest newspaper late each January, followed by an advertisement insert the first Sunday in February. Small teaser ads are placed in every newspaper in the state soon after. The advertisement insert includes new owners reported in the past year with property valued at $50 that is unclaimed. The teaser ads briefly describe the program and provide contact information. On an ongoing basis, there's a website listing all the unclaimed property available to claims that have been outstanding 2 years or more. The website address, the mailing address, and the office phone number are listed in every case. Now, here's the punchline. With the second reading amendment yesterday, we mandated that the property office buy that big insert each year at $22,000, thus expending 75% of the budget on one shot that doesn't even make it to the paper's website. The department simply wanted the discretion to try to do it differently, initially with a half-page ad in February and teasers around the state that will be larger. The website, mailing address, and phone number advertising would continue. Some radio spots might be possible. The unclaimed property department sought the flexibility to try something new to better reach affected citizens. If they try new strategies that are ineffective, I'd suggest that they'll go back to the tried-and-true formula of an expensive full-page one-time ad. The interim committee freed them up and gave them more discretion in their advertising budget through the original bill. This amendment puts it back into that form. I'd ask your support for third reading Amendment 1 to House Bill 63. Any questions?
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, I appreciate the bringer of the amendment and bringing the additional discussion. And that's what we're here for, is to discuss these items. Not to berate the issue, the second reading amendment was simply to make sure that we kept something in print, what we had done before. For those people who aren't as technologically savvy, I always feel comfortable. I think we use the term sideboards here all the time, giving some clear guidance to agencies rather than complete discretion. I appreciate the amendment and the further discussion, and body does what it feels is best.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And for the amendment, we did have a lot of testimony, and we worked closely with the agency. They've been studying this process for a long time and have been looking at the ways that it's not working. I think it's worthy of us giving them this latitude so that we can see what the results are over the next year. And if this is not working, I believe that we can go back to another format, or they will just do that because they have the funds available to them. Thank you.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, again, we heard a lot of testimony in the committee, but the point of this was to have a much greater reach than one narrow area. So we would have a much greater advertisement of how one can go to the website and find the information. So the goal is to reach more people. I think this accomplishes it, and I hope you'll vote for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the greater reach has been mentioned as a plus. And I think the other plus was the largest concern I was hearing was that it was a setback for the technologically challenged folks in the state. You can still use a stamp and reach the office. You can still just get on your phone and call the office. And then, of course, if you can go online, it's probably a little simpler, but there's some good fail-safes there. Thank you for the discussion, and I appreciate support for the amendment.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 63. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 63 is passed. House Bill 63, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen,
aye.
Baker,
aye.
Baldwin,
aye.
Barlow,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
John.
Halverson, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
no.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petrov.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Thrown.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 aye, 7 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 63 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution Number 1. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 1 from Representative Winters, a joint resolution requesting Congress to amend the United States Constitution to authorize congressional votes to approve or disapprove proposed federal regulations, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 1, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton. Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart, Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
no.
Petrov,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
no.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
no.
Throne,
no.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 51 aye, 9 no.
House Joint Resolution Number 1. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 1 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 5. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution Number 5 from Representative Dan Zwanitzer, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution to remove any mandatory retirement age for Supreme Court justices and judges of other courts in Wyoming, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
House Joint Resolution 5, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blackburn,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Burkhart,
aye.
Bird,
aye.
Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Clem,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Dayton,
aye.
Edmonds,
no.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt, Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden, Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey, Petrov,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
no.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any Clam. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 11 no.
House Joint Resolution Number 5, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Joint Resolution 5 has passed the House. Now, ladies and gentlemen, backing and filling just a little bit. Back on the consent list. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 9, 12, 19, 20, 33, 42, 66, and 104 have passed the House. Standing committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 87, Content and Performance Standards, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Patton, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Patton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the bill be referred to appropriations.
What bill is it, Chairman Patton?
What is the number? House Bill number 87.
Without objection, House Bill 87 is re-referred to the Appropriations Committee. We're now at that business of consideration of bills on general file. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to debate the following bills on general file: House Bill 36, 73, 23, 25, 76, 82, 74, 100, 92, 85, 105, 28, 111, and 31.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Representative Barlow.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 36 from the Corporations Committee, an act relating to telephone service, amending immunity provisions related to emergency 911 providers, specifying the activities to which immunity applies, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred House Bill 36, Emergency 911 Providers-Immunity, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Zwanitzer, signed by Representative Dan Zwanitzer, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a recommendation that House Bill 36 do pass. In my 10 years on the Corporations Committee, this is the shortest committee bill I've ever seen. But for the lengthy explanation, I'll turn it over to the good representative from House District 1.
Representative Lindholm, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 36, Emergency 911 Providers Immunity. As the chairman of corporations has stated, this is a very short and easy bill. What this provides for is, with our new age technology and in our litigious environment, we can protect our emergency providers. Not all systems are set up with a text 911 service at this time, and due to the fact that it might come to a point where someone texts 911 to a non-capable site that has not upgraded their equipment to accept 911 sites or 911 services via text, we could have a possibility at that point for litigation, and this bill would cover that. As you can see on line 10, page 2, and continue on into line 11, page 2, we've added or amended in or text to 911 service, which removes that ability, removes the litigation ability. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any discussion on the bill? Any discussion on the bill? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a question. Was there any discussion from providers on what the average cost to upgrade your 911 service to receive texts?
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We actually heard a little bit of testimony in regards to other bills regarding that, and it is a costly thing. These emergency providers are looking at it right around every 2 years having to upgrade, and it is very expensive and to include hundreds of thousands.
Any other discussion on the bill, House Bill 36? Question having been called, all of those in favor of Representative Zwanitz's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 36 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 36 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 73. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 73 from Representative Harshman, an act relating to adoption of education content and performance standards, modifying the process for adoption of standards, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 73, Development of Education Standards, respectfully reports saying back to the House that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrup, Patton, Paxton, Piperinum, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Patton, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 73 do pass. And Mr. Chairman, I yield the floor to Representative Harshman.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you to the Education Committee, and who did a fine job hearing this bill the other night. And members, really, this bill's brought to you as a request from a school board member in my district. Since then, he's the chairman of the school board, and he's an engineer, parent of three or four kids that have gone through the system. And I've heard from principals and curriculum directors and teachers from across the state, But our standards process, first of all, Wyoming's unique. We have performance and content standards in 9 different areas. Most states have 2, at the most 3. We've chosen to recognize all 9 of those areas, which I think is a good thing. But this goes to the state board's duties. And you can see the language at the bottom of page 1. This bill simply changes one word. And right now, the state board is required to review content and performance standards not less than once every 5 years. So they could do it every 2 years or 3 years, but it's 5 years. So perhaps some of your areas, you know, perhaps an area doesn't need it. And the man it brought to me, he said, how often has the periodic table changed? And, you know, and that, and so since I've investigated this more, really here is the cycles, how it really works. I mean, the law states and the regulations state that so once standards are approved, districts have 2 years to align the curriculum. So then the curriculum's aligned, and then it's implemented, and then assessed. And then so in reality, you have about 1 year of good data. And then all of a sudden, we're lined up again to review standards. And so the process then works. The WDE facilitates the process. They get stakeholders, and they go around the state. So this process is not free. I mean, we budget $360,000 a biennium to the state standards unit, and we also budget another $930,000 in three positions in a career readiness that also supports this effort. So the real issue is, if you want to measure change, don't change the measure. And we're always continually in the cycle of chasing our tails. And it's been really counterproductive. And so I think we had great questions and debate in Education Committee. And so it simply would not preclude the State Board and the WDE from going in and reviewing standards sooner. They could do it again every year or two or three if they chose. But it wouldn't force the state to go into all nine content areas every 5 years. And so that's the real issue that I'm trying to fix. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions. Thank you.
Any questions on the bill, Ron? House Bill 73, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As we discussed this in the Education Committee, good discussions, and I wish you'd all been there to hear the starting discussions, and even it led into this bill. We had a bill before it that we're going to talk about next. And there was a lot of good feelings of the State Department of Education being there, the Wyoming Department of Education being there, and their representatives, and all were concerned with the coming up with the best, I guess, education system standards and so forth. We'll be talking about that in the next bill. But this one was a bill to help us not be changing every year. That was the main intent of this. And so we're saying the State Department of Education can't do it. Well, they can do, but they can go up to 10 years to do instead of the 2 years there's a mention, and this, then there's another one with 8 years, and this just says within the 10 years. I've had a lot of correspondence from constituents, people around the state that are very concerned with this, all asking me to vote no on this bill. And I just wish everybody would have been there to hear the debate. I ended up voting yes on this with the assurance from both those agencies that we are looking at the best standards that we can come up with, and assured that they would be looking at doing the very best we could. And the people that are writing me and saying don't vote for this bill are just assuming that we will accept the standards that are in the Common Core and the next bill, the next generation science. And we were assured that is not the case. We're looking at trying to come up with the very best standards, doesn't matter what area we can do. And all the agencies were on board with that. So the concern is we're still developing our standards. We're hoping that we do the very best. And we're kind of saying that, you know, we'll have these for the next 10 years. And if the people of Wyoming are having those concerns, I just wanted to share those concerns. But in the committee, hearing all the testimony, those concerns were kind of put at ease.
And I think the bringer of the amendment heard all the, or the bringer of this bill heard all those, and he might talk about some of those. So there's a lot of concern around the state, and I think the intent of this is good if we'll follow through and do the other things that both the agencies said they would do, including local school boards and parents. And I hope that's a fair assessment of what was said, Mr. Bringer of the bill. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I stand on in support of this bill. I'm bringing a similar bill that also increases this time period. To my local district, stability is their number one concern. They keep getting jacked around on standards, assessments, and it's just been really hard to find stability in K-12 education. This is an attempt to do that in those areas where you can go out to 10 years. There's areas where they won't go out as far as 10 years. The state board has recommended 8 years. They wanted to move it from 5 to 8 years, and this goes to 10. So I think it's a very good bill, and I think it will help increase stability in K-12 education. Thank you.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple questions that hopefully the good representative who explained the bill could answer. First of all, I know there was some discussion of having one or two of these concept areas being looked at every year. For instance, if we have those 9 concept areas, and if one of those concept areas was looked at every single year, there'd be somewhat of a rotation instead of looking at it all at once. And I don't see anything that alludes to that in this bill. The second thing here, my understanding is that even with that 5-year time frame in which they're supposed to review these standards, that these standards that prior to the Common Core, that these standards hadn't really changed. They would look at these standards, but there wasn't any significant changes within these standards. And really, the third thing here, which is more of a comment than a question, is unless it's specified in the bill that they're going to not going to look at this every 10 years, I guess I don't trust the Board of Education. I don't believe it says 10 years, so my thought is they're going to drag it out until 10 years versus reviewing it maybe after 6 or 7 years. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Just a quick response to the previous. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To the previous speaker, having them come up one at a time is in another bill that's coming up. I just stood up here to say that I, in my day job, have the pleasure of dealing with 11 different school districts, and that is the overwhelming call is that we want some stability. The other thing is being a former teacher, we would look at the standards. And the standards did change every time that we came up with a new one. And the good chairman of appropriations already talked about how it takes 2 years to implement. You get a year. And then because the whole process takes 2 years, almost immediately, everything is going to be challenged. So it's very difficult to spread it out. Is the best thing that we can do to provide stability for school districts. If there is a fly in the ointment, the state school board and the Department of Education can begin the process much earlier than 10 years, and in certain disciplines, I think that that's a must. But let them get the system started.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to speak to the good representative from Campbell County's questions, the 9 content areas, you know, with vocational education and creative and visual arts and physical education and health and all the areas that are included, including math, science, and English that we think of, the foreign language standards, currently all those have to roll every 5 years. And so a committee is formed The WDE facilitates the committee. They'll include parents, students, educational professionals, people from all geographic areas of the state. We pay for them to all come together and meet. They'll look at our current standards. They'll look at new research, what other states are doing, what things are going on, and then they'll crosswalk all that and come with a new proposed set of standards, some change, some not. And they'll bring those then to the state board. And the state board then goes through the whole rulemaking process. And that takes months. And there's public meetings and public comment. They're posted on the website. But that process has to occur every 5 years. So all nine of these are rolling every 5 years. And I mentioned the budget of about $1.2 million per biennium to support this effort. It wasn't my intent to put in statute a schedule saying science you have to go every 4 years and math every five. And that wasn't my intent. The trigger to review, you know, that comes from really just a groundswell of people, I think, currently, whether it's in the department, whether it's in the state board, or whether it's parents and school districts saying, hey, these English standards or these foreign language standards need to be looked at. And if that kind of becomes a consensus right now, that's how it's done earlier than 5 years. But there is no trigger out there, and we haven't said there's a trigger mechanism somehow in statute. So, and that wasn't my intent. My intent was simply to get off this wheel that we're just running on all the time, change for change's sake. And like, for instance, we just got an email on my school email last week. We spent hours and hours and hours as professionals lining our curriculum. So we're all lining our instruction methods to make sure whether it's students in my class or one of my colleagues' classes, we're all kind of we're given the same information and testing in the same way and doing all this. And now I just got the email that said, remove all your information off the Essential Curriculum website, which is in our district, because that will be shut down as new standards roll forward, and we're going to begin the process again. We just finished it. We're just kind of implementing. We're in like the first year of, and so that's what we're on right now. And so this bill is not trying to fix every problem that might be out in education, but this is one problem that can be fixed. And I think the good representative from the Southwest talked about, I never thought about it. We had a parent at the meeting, and his feeling was that here you are, we pass Common Core, whatever. We pass new English and math standards called the Common Core. Now you're going to stick them to us for 10 years with that, and they can't be reviewed. And I was like, I mean, that was nobody's intent. It's not anybody's even thought or intent. Certainly wasn't mine. And so, you know, that's a whole nother discussion. So I hope that you talked about your mistrust for the Board of Education. I can't fix that with this. I mean, I'm just trying to help our schools and our education system and really save a little money in the process, because I think it's a horrible waste. And again, I think to measure change, don't change the measure. And some of these things maybe every 3 years. Some content might change every 3 years, but to get all these groups together every 5 years and meet all over the state, I think makes no sense. So I'm hoping to correct that with this bill. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate those comments and clarification. I guess the question that comes to my mind, though, is if there are significant changes made every 5 years, then wouldn't it stand to reason that we should keep that number at 5 years if there is and need to change those standards? Do we want to allow ourselves to lag behind if it is actually drawn out to 10 years? And again, if it's not said so in statute, maybe the proper way to do this would to make some kind of amendment. But if our folks in government and in education look at that statute and they say, well, we don't have to review these standards for 10 years, I'm afraid they'll take advantage of that. There's nothing that says that they can review that prior to that. And so that's my fear. And again, my comment in regards to if they're changing those standards every 5 years, it stands the reason there's probably good reason we should keep it that way. Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Speaking on and in favor of the bill, but with this question.
What I hear from my constituents is they want better results. And I'm not the person that's in the school systems doing all of these things, and I trust a lot of people that are in there. So my question to the bringer of the House Bill 73 is, do you think this will help improve the results that we get in the kids that we're teaching? And I believe it's going to be yes, and that's why I'm supporting the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've run up against this in my former residence in the city where the wind blows a lot on a great lake. They adopted a math standard from the University of the Windy City, and there was such pushback from teachers and parents, but the board, it was a local school board, dug in its heels, telling everybody, we do not have to renew these standards or look again at this standard because we can have it for 10 years. It took an intervening school board election to get them off that stand, but they were going to use, as has been expressed here, every year of that schedule to delay looking and reviewing at this. And I do not share the faith of some of my colleagues that our state board won't just do the exact same thing.
Chairman Hushman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to the good representative from Campbell County, and really his question was if there are significant changes, then we should be doing it. And that's the case. It's not so much that there's significant changes, but you change one or two items in the math standard, then the third grade pause test has to be changed. I mean, it has ripples through the whole thing to assess them, to implement and assess. So it's this continual thing. I don't think any standards have ever been just wholesalely dumped and then replaced by new. It's always a process of moving and changing. But the key thing is there's always this change that happens really after 1 year of implementation. And that's the real issue. So whether 10 years is the right number, whether 8 years is the right number, I don't know. 7, 8, 9, 10, but I don't think 5 is the right number. And so that's what this bill is trying to fix. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising in support of the measure and the thought that is behind this, what was really persuasive, I thought, was the fact that the way the bill is written and the way the function is provided is that they do not have to have a standard last for 10 years. As was mentioned by the other speaker, there are 9 different sections. And the complaint that we hear from the districts are, don't give us 2 big ones at the same time. It doesn't mean that they can only do 1 per year, but rather they have the option with this measure of being able to have 1 complete one so that the district isn't faced with 2 major changes at the same time, which takes not only time and attention away from the classroom by virtue of the tests and the material that is there, but provides them the latitude to be responsive to the districts. That's exactly what was persuasive to me. Again, I rise in support of the measure.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest that, well, first I will say that I think that the current standards process is not very well set up. But I think that one of the problems with the current 5-year cycle is not that, is actually that it is too much happening at once. Last year, I tried to get some attention to the social studies standards, which were up. I taught social studies. I wrote things up. I compared other states. I wrote to the state board. I wrote to constituents. I wrote to stakeholders. I tried to corner people. And frankly, everyone was so worked up over the Common Core that I couldn't get anyone to pay any attention to the social studies standards, which frankly, I think are pretty weak. So I think having to extend the process, the possibility of 10 years or at least longer, will enable people to pay more attention to each individual set of standards, which I think was really the complaint that people had when we came up with the math, science, and English. People felt that it was going by too fast, and the people felt like they didn't have a chance to really look at it. So I think actually to extend the number of years, whether it's 8 or 10 or whatever, will be a good thing because it will enable all of us to give closer attention to the standards process and to the standards and really look at it and not kind of be snowed under by whatever the news cycle hits on this week and everything else just shoves along really fast. So I'm in favor of this bill. Second thing I would just say is I would recommend that if you're not sure, vote to move this bill along. Go back and call the teachers you know back in your district and say, teachers, what do you think about the standards? What should we do? And I will tell you, I think what all the teachers that I've talked to in the district say is just what other teachers have said, which is, for gosh sakes, quit turning us over every couple of years. You're driving us crazy. So I would say vote aye and talk to your teachers at home and find out what they think.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I initially going into the committee, I had some concerns of some of the prior speakers in the last few minutes will they put this off until the last minute, but I don't think that that's the case. Having heard the testimony and also having spoken with some of my local board members back home of the local elected school boards, this was brought at their request as well. And I think that there's a legitimate need here to extend this time because right now it is constrained and it is cramped. And while 5 years sounds like a decent amount of time for the issues at hand and for what needs to be thought through and worked through, frankly it isn't. And so I don't think that we are doing any harm in extending this out to 10 years, because under the current circumstances of merely doing it in five, it's not enough time, and I don't believe that the state board will trend toward putting it off until the last minute, considering the amount of work it is, by my understanding, having heard the testimony in the committee. So on and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, just to address a concern by the representative from the land of camels, in order to have rigor, you have to be able to properly evaluate the standard you have in place. And I'm just going to go through the process again just so everybody understands. It takes roughly 3 years to implement that standard. And so you really only have 2 years then to evaluate the standard, 2 years of data. And so what the state board's recommendation, which was 8 years, so you have 3 years to implement. What they were saying is we want 5 years of data to look at that standard to be able to evaluate how that standard, to evaluate the rigor, to evaluate how it goes in place. So really their recommendation was 8. This is simply taking it to 10. I think this is an important piece for rigor, for ensuring that we can properly evaluate a standard that's in place. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mr. Chairman, all the good debate. And again, I don't think I addressed a good representative from Natrona County about results. And I think I would say to that right now, and I think the previous speaker talked about just a couple years of data after implementation as opposed to a 4, 5, 6 years of data. And I would just say this, all my time spent on the education accountability, we have really done it to ourselves with testing. We've changed the pause test over and over, and we're still in the middle of this, and it is so frustrating. And all the experts will tell you, number one, if you want to measure change, don't change the measure. And it's so important to give some stability, and then we can actually see real results
instead of always moving the benchmark and moving it around. And then nobody knows. It's always a constant cycle of reorganization and confusion. And nobody gets the right answer. And so I'm all for that. So I appreciate your support of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further? Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just again, a couple of questions. When we're looking at starting this evaluation, question, what starts or what's going to trigger the start of this evaluation by the state board? That's a concern. And one of the former speakers mentioned, go ask your teachers. Boy, that just started a whole bunch of thoughts. Our teachers that are teaching are just overwhelmed with testing, with new standards, with new this and that. And I wish we could have the teachers here telling you how frustrated they are with how we've been turning them this way and this way. My goal is to get the legislature out of our local school districts. And I hope all of these bills that we're having are moving toward that. Appreciated the bill last night in education. We're trying to do that. We're looking to help teachers have a little stability. And this 10 years, and the bill does say up to 10 years. And so we're not saying go 10 years, but a little bit of concern I have is what's going to trigger the start of this evaluation process. And we're all unsure, and as I mentioned before, we are still developing some of these standards, and the next bill will discuss the same type things. And the concern is we're given 10 years before we're ever going to start again. And so I'm kind of torn in the middle of this, but I think the intent of everything we're trying to do is head in the right direction. Thank you.
We're on House Bill 73. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Patton's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 73 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 73 has passed Committee of the Whole. Members of the House, I have a page of 15 bills. Thank you for the healthy debate. We're going to have another bill here that's going to have more debate. So with that, the next bill for our consideration is House Bill 23. The reading clerk will read the bill. Oh. Privilege of the floor.
Please, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you very much. A few of you have noted I'm wearing a pin that says 100 on it today. That pin is in honor of last year's 100th celebration of the one municipality in our county. And I wore it today because I was anticipating a delegation arriving from that municipality. In the North Gallery, I'd like to recognize our esteemed newly elected mayor, Sarah Flitner, Haley Levinson, who is the vice mayor, Olivia Goodall, the town clerk, Roxanne Robinson, the assistant town administrator, and also Rebecca Bextel, an esteemed local businesswoman. Thank you all for coming.
Welcome to the House. Representative Crone.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen of the 63rd, it's my honor to welcome a group of folks that drove down with two number ones on their license plates from Buffalo Bill Country, the mayor of the city of Cody, Nancy T. Brown, Councilmember Donnie Anderson, Councilmember Landon Greer, and City Administrator Barry Cook. Let's give them a big House of Representatives welcome.
Welcome to the House. We will proceed with House Bill 23, as I announced earlier. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 23 from Representative Patton, an act relating to the next generation science standards, allowing the State Board to expend funds in consideration of the next generation science standards in adoption of uniform student content and performance standards and providing for an effective date. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred House Bill 23, Next Generation Science Standards -2, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrop, Patton, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, and Throne, signed by Representative Northrop, Vice Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, we do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 23 do pass. Speaking on and for the measure, I would like to point out it is simple, it is straightforward, and it shouldn't be all that controversial, but for me it will be. It strikes the footnote that was passed in the budget session a year ago. It removes that, and that's all that it does. It removes the footnote, which has been a barrier for the State Board of Education to consider the standards for arts and sciences, for sciences. And that's it. It does not put in place anything in its place of the standards. That's not our job. It's not my job. I don't believe that it's the legislature's job. Just as a comment, I'd like to say that I've received hundreds of emails, both for and against, but the one that's against has really struck me, and it had to say that they wanted me to vote no on this measure because it was anti-economics for the state of Wyoming. So I dressed this morning so that I can put on my tags for Wyoming, that to take the position that we should not, we, the legislature, should tell the State Board of Education that it can't do its job is not very progressive. This is one time when you can be conservative and be progressive at the same time, and I think it's important that we consider it. It's not against the economy. If you really take a thought about what we're doing, the lack of knowledge carried to an extreme, ignorance, is our enemy. Working for knowledge, working for positive things, working with education, that's progressive. That's what we are in the state of Wyoming. This state is very, very proud of its educational system. It's not broken. We're here to try and aid, assist, and promote good education, and that's what I believe we're about. And with that, I will yield the floor to our speaker, please.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anybody that heard my speech, I think it left little doubt about where we stand, but let me review a couple things. As the chairman said, it's a simple bill, and there's great temptation to read more into this bill than is there. It simply repeals the footnote that was passed last time and puts us back to where we were before the footnote was passed. It doesn't say anything about what's going to happen in the future. And I would submit to you that footnote was passed hastily in the heat of battle during the budget session, not well considered, not well vetted, not well thought out, and as Madam Minority Floor Leader pointed out in the committee meeting, it was never truly considered by the Senate at all. And that's an anomaly of the conference process and the way it came together. But as she points out, there were only 5 senators that ever considered this. We struggled with this in the conference committee and tried to fix it. We might have made it worse, to be honest with you. There has been an opinion voiced by some people that this footnote prevents even a discussion of next generation science standards. And the thesis of that thought is that any meeting of any agency the State Board of Education or anybody else where mileage is paid by the state would make any discussion of next generation science standards illegal and improper and prohibited under this footnote. That's the extent of the barrier that this has erected. And in some cases, people have, I don't necessarily agree with that thesis, but people have honored that. And the State Board of Education has honored it and really brought all their consideration of new standards to a screaming halt because of this footnote. So it's off the table at the moment, and it has had the effect of stopping any consideration of new standards. Now, as I said before, we don't burn books in this country. We don't try to tell people how to think, especially educators and academics, and if we tried, we wouldn't be successful. We all know that that's just impossible. And so education is our friend. Ignorance is our enemy. And education enables us and our students and our educators to evaluate this information and give it whatever worth it may have. And it may be worthless, but I trust them to be able to have the judgment and the education and the knowledge to make that determination. And I don't think that it ought to be dictated to them by us as politicians. We need to be competitive. And waiting a year might have helped, but that's enough. We have to get on with new standards. For years, this question bedeviled me, and I heard over and over again, it's bothered me for a long time, well, we don't really need that good a university, because we just need a university that's good enough for Wyoming, and no more. And for years that bothered me, but I couldn't figure out what bothered me about it. Well, here's the deal. We hear this lament in our state all the time that our children can't stay here and our children have to leave and we wish we could have them here. We wish they could come back. And it's interesting, and probably many of you have had the same experience, but a lot leave, and about age 45, they start trickling back in one by one by one because they like it here, but they had to go somewhere else to be successful. And the point is this, where they went is where they have to be competitive. We can't measure it by Wyoming standards. When two-thirds of our kids are leaving the state, and many come back later, but they leave our state to succeed, we're not going to measure their competitiveness by what we do in Wyoming. We have to measure their competitiveness by their ability to succeed where they go. And I always say, just as an example, if you look at the number of lawyers practicing law in the state south of us, apparently, especially in the big city south of us, right in the cauldron of high-priced legal firms in that city, you'll see an amazing number of Wyoming Law School graduates there. And they're there because our law school trained them to be competitive there, not here. So now we get to next-generation science standards. And they are whatever they are. And they may say some things that we disagree with. But our students need to hear things that are disagreeable to us. And we trust that with education and knowledge and perceptive thinking and insight, that they'll sort out what is pertinent and what is not. And the same can be said for our State Board of Education. If you're going to be a good debater and a good arguer, then you need to be able to argue both sides of the issue with equal ability. And I've said more than once, what we really ought to do in the criminal trial system is we ought to have a criminal trial. We select two lawyers and put them at the door, and they draw straws for whether they're going to take one side or the other, because good lawyers are prepared on either side. And that's not just limited to lawyers. I mean, I know a lot about lawyers, but it's the same with scientists, with engineers. They have to understand both sides, all sides of the question. They need to be able to take that Rubik's Cube or that piece of glass, and they need to be able to turn it around and look in it from any angle and see what's there. And so that's what we do. And so next generation science standards represents what? It represents an off-the-shelf deal, which we don't want, but it represents a national norm in some description of what's going on nationally. in terms of rigor and in terms of level of achievement. And some states are taking national or next generation science standards and Common Core, and they're saying this is not good enough. We're going to have a level of rigor and a level of achievement above this. And I think, especially with our Tier 1 engineering college coming on, I would expect that many of our science programs are going to say next generation science standards are not enough. But that's not to say that the State Board of Education can't read them and discuss them and cherry pick out of them the things that are proper for Wyoming. And it represents some sort of a baseline, and they'll give it the proper consideration. But some sort of a baseline about where we're going nationally, which goes back to what about our science students that leave? You know, there's about 3,000, it amazes me, there's about 3,000 science and engineering jobs going begging in the United States right now. With all the unemployment we've had, all the consternation we've had about people not having work, there's 3,000 jobs going begging. Well, what do our students have to do to be able to qualify for those jobs? Certainly next generation science standards is relevant to that. It doesn't necessarily set the standard, but it's relevant, and it's relevant to the discussion. Now, maybe the delay for a year, I concede that maybe it didn't hurt to wait a year. It's done a couple things. It helped us to give some serious thought to this budget footnote process, and I don't see us going back from that. I think we all learned a lesson there. Number two, it gave us a chance to rethink, to some extent, I think, how our Wyoming standards are going to be developed. And we heard in committee from the Superintendent of Public Instruction, and I must say she's done a lot of work in this area. She's got new procedures. They involve more due process, more public hearings, more input from the public, more of attempts to communicate with parents. And in that regard, maybe this wasn't all bad. But time's a-wasting. It is, and the country's moving on, and the knowledge base is moving on. We need to, I won't say catch up, but we need to keep up. And this is all part of the mix. And so for all those reasons, I would urge you to pass this, to repeal that footnote, to absolve this notion that we can't even talk about it. Sure, we can talk about it. We talk about a lot of things in here that are total nonsense. I've got a list of grievances over there, the ones I think are nonsense. I'm sure that you have your own. So let's have it. Let's have the discussion. Let's tell the State Board of Education, you can talk about them for whatever they're worth. If they're not worth anything, we will expect you to throw them out. To the extent that they give us some sense of the national norm, to the extent that they describe some level of rigor and some level of achievement that may have some relevance on a national basis, then discuss them. Take them into account. Give them the value, whatever it may be worth, more or little, however it may be. But we're not going to, as a bunch of politicians, try to sit here and tell you what you can think and what you can't, what you can talk about and what you can't. So that is, it's just that simple. We just repeal the budget footnote, and we let the process that's in place, the very good people that we have that work on these problems, and the Superintendent of Public Instruction, who's got some great stuff coming down the pipe, do their thing. On and for the bill.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Speaker, for setting the stage. I think he said a lot of things that were said in the Education Committee, and I think the ideas that are being portrayed here, and there's a slightly different twist, but one thing I want everybody to know, during the studies that I'm doing, Wyoming is one of the top states in the United States in our education. We are not poor in our education. We're doing some great things, and I think all the discussion is to help us become better. The budget footnote that was put on last year, if you remember, there was a little bit of the Common Core was kind of all of a sudden there, and for all the reasons, and I think a lot of people around the state felt like that was just kind of shoved in and they didn't have much say in it. So here comes the next generation science standards. And this bill said, well, and I think it was called a knee-jerk reaction. Well, this happened. Let's not let it happen again. And so that budget footnote came about. And as Mr. Speaker said, budget footnotes are not a good way to do business. If it's a budget footnote that deals with the budget, a little thing, well, then that's what it ought to be. But to have a bill that should be debated and should be discussed, pros and cons, that's the way we should, and that should have done that. But for whatever reason, it didn't, and Mr. Speaker did a good job. In a negative thing, it stopped us from looking at more standards. In a positive thing, it stopped the process and made us analyze what was going on a little bit. And again, in the committee, we had assurances from both of these agencies that the next generation science standards were not what they automatically were embracing. And one of the things that they assured us that the next generation science standards are there. And I gave you a handout that if you have in your box, it shows, according to the Fordham Institute, where all the standards, all the states rate in their standards. And if you'll look, the next generation science standards are down the list about 15, 20. There's a top 15, so in the, you know, it's 20th. And if you turn the page over, sad to say, there's Wyoming kind of at the bottom of the thing. So we are looking at, and we were assured that these standards are something we need to look at. And look at the ones, look at all the states and all the tests that are above the next generation science standards. And they also are what we need to be looking at. And our superintendent has a plan of how we're going to get there. She had laid out meetings, including the local districts and local people, and both agencies assured us as they go forward with this, they would do a much better job of trying to get local input. So I think we need to come up with our standards, incorporate those that are good. I also wrote down that we need to incorporate our culture and our values along with, as we look, you know, worldwide, but we're still Wyoming, and we still have our kind of rural independence. Let's not leave that out as we're looking at all of the things that we need to be looking at. I want us to be transparent. I want the people of Wyoming to have more trust in what we're doing. And I think the impression that I'm getting from the emails that I'm getting is that trust is not there. And I hope we're working to get that back. So there's a little debate on how this came about. Kind of an illegal budget footnote stopped the whole process. Good and bad of that. And here we are with a decision to make. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, I'll try to be brief. Last year when we voted on that budget amendment, I supported it. I'm on and for this bill because at the time I voted for it, I didn't believe that there was a good process in place for public involvement, as good a process as there could be. I think both the State Board and the Department of Education are working hard on that. I'm bringing a bill to try to improve that. But there's also one other final thing in statute, and I'm going to read some of that statute. It's in 21-2304, duties of the State Board. It says part one of the duties of the State Board is during standard setting processes to report findings and recommendations to the Joint Education Interim Committee of the legislature on or before December 1st of the year in which the review and evaluation was undertaken. The Joint Education Interim Committee shall report its recommendations based upon findings and recommendations of the State Board to the legislature during the immediately following legislative session. So we still have the ability to look at those reports if we find something that's egregious in a standard somewhere along the line. We have the ability as the legislature. We always do, but we have kind of statutory authority to take a look at that. So I urge the body to support this bill. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you've already seen from the handout that another representative has placed before you, the NGSS represents a national norm that is far inferior to many other standards that are currently available out there. And the issue with NGSS is that there's intense out-of-state pressure to adopt these middling standards, which is the reason why that budget footnote was placed. It was the only opportunity that we had to begin the conversation all over again because we were heading so rapidly toward the adoption. And let me just push back toward another comment that I heard earlier. If the nation is moving toward a middling position, I don't feel comfortable with settling for the, as one person put it a number of years ago, the soft tyranny of low expectation. And so when you look at decisions being made in this state, and they're heavily influenced from outside sources, I believe it's good for us to call a halt. And that was the purpose of that footnote, to ensure that we wouldn't settle for the pressure of external consortia. And let me also say, it is the prerogative of this body to slow decision-making processes in boards in this state when we see issues that come up. And we are the elected representatives of the people. And these boards many times are put together, and I'm not going to bash on the way in which they're put together, but let me say that you and I have the opportunity, each of us represent just slightly less than 10,000 individuals in this state. So we are closer to the people. And we've heard a lot of individuals speak up on this issue. And so it is good that we slowed the process. And I also am trying to urge those who may be listening right now to look beyond just one single set of standards that are by multiple people have been deemed to be low standards. And you'll also see on that list that there are other standards out there that excel in many, many ways. And I would like for us to look across the spectrum and not just settle for the pressure of external consortia. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I do agree that the way this went about was the wrong way as far as a budget footnote. And here we are dealing with it, but a few thoughts that come to my mind. Number one, the state board is not accountable to the people. In fact, it's only accountable to the governor and in some exceptions, I guess you could say, to the legislative body as well. And what we're doing is we're permitting them to have a discussion without any kind of accountability to the people of Wyoming. Now, of course, they do have their outreach, and they're going to take public comment and whatnot. But as far as their decisions and what they do, there's no accountability there. Number two, I do believe it is our job as the legislature to protect our state against federal overreach. And the next generation science standards are exactly that. We can't use props, but I want you to use your imagination this morning for me just a little bit. Imagine that you have 10 apples, and those 10 apples represent science standards and content. And what we're saying is that we cannot develop our own rigorous standards if we take away one of those apples. It's that one apple represents next generation science standards. So we have 9 apples left, but we can't come up with our own standards because next generation science standards is not being able to be used. And I find that argument a little bit ridiculous. The next generation science standards, let me back up. It has flaws that do not contribute to the success of our students. And really, when we think about success, I mean, it is the goal of this legislative body. It is the goal of the people of Wyoming to equip our children with a world-class education and to be a leader in academic success among the states in our republic. If our product is our students, we want to produce the best students possible. But the next generation science standards has flaws that do not contribute to the success of students' academic knowledge. But just because we can't or don't use the next generation science standards to set benchmarks for our kids doesn't mean that Wyoming can't produce rigorous science standards with other tools and resources, such as with my example with the apples. So what are the flaws of the next generation science standards? Well, number one, these are not state-led standards as purported to believe. In fact, if you were to do a quick web search and go to the Next Generation Science Standards website, you'll find that the name Next Generation Science Standards and the associated logo is trademarked by a company, the same company who developed Common Core. This is a progressive left company that not only produces left-leading education standard.
Point of order.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
I don't think we should refer to specific companies.
Thank you. I don't believe I named the company.
Please proceed, Ms. Representative Clem, and with caution.
Okay, thank you. The point is that this company, who is not to be named, believes in the federal reach of education, the federal approach of education. Number two, the Next Generation Science Standards, it has a strong slant in things like evolution, that not only it purports it not as theory but as fact, and it also has a strong bias toward climate change. And I'll end, I don't want to take up too much time here, just with some questions here. Do we want our children and grandchildren to be taught standards that are trademarked and developed by a progressive left organization? If we do, what does that say about Wyoming? A couple other questions here. Do we want our children, in regards to climate change, because this is something that really focuses, the Next Generation Science Standards focus on, do we want our children to believe that their fathers and mothers, and particularly in my county, are polluting and destroying the earth because of the energy industry that they have their jobs with? Do we want our kids to believe that CO2 is a pollutant and that coal-fired power plants are the main contributors of global warming? There are plenty of scientists, and I think it's been said before this body already, plenty of scientists who disagree with those who say that climate change is actually happening. So again, to kind of just round this thing back up, we're saying that we cannot develop science standards without next generation science standards when we have a lot of other tools and resources at our disposal. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hear a lot of things about the standards not being what they want. I'm a geophysicist. I learned how to do that at the university across the hill. That job of that school is to turn out competitive people in the industry, not only to compete on a Wyoming standard, but a global standard. The science standards that we're looking at right here are a template for us to set in motion standards to allow those schools to prepare our kids to be competitive, not only inside the state. If you don't want your kids leaving the state, then we can ditch these science standards, and I can guarantee you that all of them will be here, because they won't be offered a job anyplace. Their marketability will come next to zero. So in my particular profession, which is science-based, I think we need to get rid of this, and so we can allow those school boards to have these discussions, take the proper course. Yes, it may not be as rigorous as we would like, but that's never stopped us from before from trying to go to the top rather than excel in a race to the bottom. So it is the purview of this body to make this decision. But keep in mind, this decision affects each and every student that's out there, and the next generation of students that will come into this, and their competitiveness, not just in the Wyoming market, but the world market. One of the most interesting things that I heard an individual tell me this year, he works for a very large company in the oil and gas industry that's logo looks like a little sea creature. He told me at one particular time, out of the five divisions of that company, three of the international division leaders were graduates from our university across the hill. I'm sure they did not get there without a rigorous scientific standard background and the other things associated with this. So, if you can understand that, and you can understand where we're going with this, then you should have an aye vote. Thank you.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to bring things back to six simple points. One, this bill lifts the budget footnote. That's all it does. Number two, with the lifting of the budget footnote, the process to adopt new science standards begin. And we heard that there will be a very vigorous public input for those standards. Number three, by lifting this footnote, it is not an automatic pass for NGSS. Number four, current Wyoming science standards are inadequate, and that is a very generous evaluation of those. With this footnote in place, nothing can be done to improve those standards. I think it's time for us to vote and to let the process start to bring us science standards that we can all be proud of. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You, I, the people of the state of Wyoming, have made an election. They have elected a new leader for our education group. Let's let her do her job. Let's let her implement her plan that we've all seen, and let's let the input become from the people that are out there, the people who want to input. They have the opportunity under this plan. Let's let it go and see how it works out.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few quick observations. I really appreciated the good speaker's remarks, refreshing everybody's memory about the budget conference committee, because it really was a flawed process for dealing with this big of an issue. But with regards to all the comments about the specifics of the standards themselves, those are wonderful. But all of those comments, as well as all the comments from all of our constituents and the educators from around the state and whoever cares about science standards, need to be made in an open and very public process in front of the state board. We are not an open and public process. We have a very controlled process. We get email from constituents. Those are private. We don't know that they're really representative, unless anybody's got fancier polling than I know of. So keep in mind that the process that goes before the state board, particularly with the new procedures being implemented by the new superintendent and the state board, that will be a very open process, and that is the right place for a full discussion of this issue. But I also want to gently push back to my fellow classmate of the class of 2006 in the legislature. We also have to be very careful about what we rely on in the discussion of any of these educational standards. As an attorney, I try to look for evidence. As a history major, I try to go to original sources. Read the standards. Don't just rely on what some out-of-state organization tells us about our standards or any other standards. Why would we listen to them more than we would listen to our own science teachers? So I just encourage everybody, as you talk to your constituents on these education issues, to look to a variety of sources for your information and to go back to the original sources, and then really, really encourage your constituents to participate in the right place on this issue, which is at the state board and in their local school districts.
Representative Piperinen.
Thank you, on and for the bill, and I'd like you to know why I voted for that bill in our committee. We were fortunate to have our great speaker come in. And I was really moved at the extent to which he took a leadership position on that and the things that he said. And the thing that moved me the most was he said that it would be under his leadership that he would seek to develop Wyoming science standards, to develop our own Wyoming core standards. I took that to mean that we weren't going to take these national ones in one swoop, but we can look at them and develop our own, and that's what I took out of there, and that's why I'm supporting this bill. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I just wanted to make one clarification on what the good representative from the land of camels said. I'm going to kind of reiterate what I said before, and that is in 21-2-304, Section C, we clearly in the legislature have oversight of the state board on the issue of standards. It takes a proactive action on our part, but we have that oversight, and I'm going to reread that to you. This is the section in its entirety. The state board shall perform an ongoing review of the state board duties prescribed by law and may make recommendations to the legislature on board duties in addition and not less than once every 5 years. The board shall evaluate and review uniformity and quality of education program standards imposed under 21-9-101, 21-9-102, and the student content performance standards promulgated under paragraph A, Romanet 3I of this section, and shall report findings and recommendations to the Joint Education Interim Committee of the Legislature on or before December 1st of the year in which the review and evaluation was undertaken. The Joint Education Interim Committee shall report its recommendations based upon findings and recommendations of the State Board to the Legislature during the immediately following legislative session. Has the Joint Education Committee always looked at that role and fully comprehended it? I'm not sure, but we definitely have statutory authority and review over the State Board on this issue. One other thing I want to mention is that there is great diversity on the State Board of Education. The two people from kind of my neck of the woods, one was one of the most conservative governor candidates a few years back for governor, and one was a football player from the University of Wyoming in this last election. I go to them when I have questions on state board issue because they're kind of from both ends of the spectrum. And what we found out in testimony that the state board said was that the entire state board said that they wanted that repealed. It was a unanimous recommendation from the state board to repeal this footnote. There is going to be great debate in the state board on these issues. So I encourage you to support this bill and let that debate begin.
Chairman Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not a time to criticize or condemn what happened. This is a time to look forward in behalf of our education system. I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and where, how and when and who. I'm ready for the question for education.
Any Representative Greer? No. Any further discussion? Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Patton's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 23 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 23 has passed. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman Barlow. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion to rise and sit again at 2 p.m. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Goes on and on.
Committee announcements. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Revenue Committee number 3 will meet tomorrow morning, Friday, at 7:30. Not 8 o'clock, but 7:30. It's going to be in Herschler Building, room B63. And during that session, we'll talk about House Bill 24, minimum wage, House Bill 75, balanced budget compact, House Joint Resolution 4, balanced budget amendment resolution.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number one, Judiciary, will meet in 5 minutes in room H8 to take up House Bill 46, House Bill 78, and House Bill 94.
Vice Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Committee number 7, Corporations, will meet 5 minutes after noon recess in room H18 to consider House Bill 35, Boards and Commissions, Removal of Appointed Members, House Bill 69, Abandoned Buildings, and if time permits, House Bill 41, Barbering License Requirements.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to continue work on House Bill 53, Minerals to Value-Added Product Facilities Fund Program, and House Bill 61, Wyoming Charter Family Trust Company Act.
Vice Chairman Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, Military Affairs, will meet in room 302. We changed to room 302. Tonight, 10 minutes after adjournment, House Bill 115, House Bill 106, House Bill 124, and House Bill 120, room 302.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, will meet tomorrow, 10 minutes after noon recess, in room H17 to hear House Bill 57, Health Insurance Medical Necessity Reviews.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will be meeting tomorrow morning, Friday, January 23rd at 8 a.m. in room 302 to hear House Bill 32, Hemp Extract Regulation, and House Bill 89, Wyoming Legal Tender Act.
Representative Larson, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know there are many questions on Article 5 of the United States Constitution. This afternoon, there will be a meeting to fully explain the process and time for questions and answers. We have gentlemen who are very knowledgeable on this subject who can help during the discussion. It is very important that we as legislators realize the power a convention of the states can have. The meeting will be in B63 at 5 p.m. I encourage all to attend.
Any other announcements? The House is in recess until 2 p.m.